Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Lawrence Holmes in this morning with Mike for Mike Mulligan. And that was the voice of first Pat Foley from NBC Sports Chicago after last night's Blackhawks loss to the Carolina Hurricanes 4-3. And then you heard from new Hawks coach Jeremy Culleton, who was coaching in his first game at the United Center, kind of an awkward moment for everybody, but he is the future, and he's here now. And Charlie Romeliotis from NBC Sports Chicago was there last night, and he's covered this story all week. Good morning, Charlie. How are you?
Good. Not too bad on this early Friday snowy morning in Chicago.
Thanks for getting up early. You were there last night, I guess, before the game. It surprised me they did not introduce Jeremy Culleton, that did not acknowledge him necessarily. Do you know why? And were you surprised? And how would you describe the atmosphere?
Yeah, I'm guessing they were just going to eliminate some awkwardness of the introduction and maybe the smattering of boos that you probably would have heard, not necessarily towards Jeremy, but maybe towards the decision to fire head coach Joel Quenneville. It was a little bit of an awkward feeling, obviously, because people didn't really know how to react, because there were a lot of unhappy fans after the decision. So I would say the first period itself was really awkward, because they didn't know whether to get up for the game or if they should still be protesting the move, in a sense.
So, Charlie, what are we going to notice is different with Culleton from Q? Is there anything in the first few weeks you're looking for as far as line consistency or anything like that that might be different from what we saw from Quenneville?
Yeah, Jeremy said he kind of plays a similar style to what Joel Quenneville plays. Just some tweaks in the defensive zone and maybe in the offensive zone as well. But the theme is the same. Now, what I'm really going to be looking forward to is the power play, because the second Jeremy walked into those doors, one of the first things he's been working on is the power play, and particularly the entries. The morning skate usually starts officially at 10:30 for the Blackhawks, and he had them out 20 minutes early, and the first thing they were working on was power play for those first 15 or 20 minutes before morning skate started. So that's an area he's taking full control of, and he certainly wants to get right, because it's been a disaster for the Blackhawks for 2 years now.
Joined by Charlie Romeliotis from NBC Sports Chicago, covers the Blackhawks. Charlie, last night postgame, how would you describe the way that he handled that? What did he say that stood out, if anything? And was he fazed by coaching in his first NHL game?
No, he wasn't. I think it would have been much worse if that route ended up staying 4-0 or whatever going forward. But we talked to Patrick Kane after the game, and he said, Jeremy had a powerful message in between the first and second periods, and not necessarily this rah-rah speech and saying, like, we got to get going here, but it was just very calm. It was just, these are self-inflicted wounds here, and it's a good thing, because these are correctable issues if we're the ones beating ourselves. So I think in that sense, he's been a calm presence behind the bench. He was a calm presence in the locker room, and maybe he'll do some more talking inside the locker room. Joel usually didn't do that in between periods. It was usually the players. But I just think he could be a calming presence behind the bench here going forward.
I know what the Blackhawks said about the change. I'm curious, as someone who's around the team as much as you are, what you think about why it happened, when it happened, and what it means.
Yeah, it's hard because last year it was fair to bring back Joel and Stan in a sense that there was no Corey Crawford for the second half of the year, and they missed Marian Hossa unexpectedly due to his skin allergy. And a lot of things went wrong last year that you felt that they both deserved a second shot. But at the same time, it was such a quick hook after 15 games, and I think it was I think it was made because the Blackhawks don't want to give up on this season, and because they're in the Central Division in the Western Conference, where if you go down a few points, like they had a five-game losing streak, and I don't think that was the reason why they fired head coach Joe Quenneville. I think it was because the inconsistencies were there and the issues were there from last year before Corey got hurt. It was giving up those high-quality scoring chances, the power play, the top guys weren't performing. Just a lot of things went wrong, and I think they just want to completely get out in front of it and avoid that. Now, you could argue, you know, maybe the Blackhawks were looking for a reason to do it, and they didn't. Last offseason maybe it wasn't the most fair for anyone. But, you know, I think in a sense they try to get out in front of it because they still don't want to pack in this season. They still want to try to make a push here.
Charlie Romeliotis joins us from NBC Sports Chicago on Mully and Haw this morning. Lawrence Holmes in for Mike Mulligan. Charlie, you asked a good question of Eddie Olczyk last night on Sports Talk Live. I thought Eddie was 38 years old when he took over the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he had to deal with a lot of, you know, a young coach, first-time head coach, dealing with veterans who may or may not have accepted him right away. How do you think the Hawks veterans will accept or have accepted a 33-year-old head coach after playing for a Hall of Fame coach for 10 years? I mean, he's younger than Duncan Keith. He's younger than four players. He played youth hockey with Brent Seabrook as a teammate. This has got to be a weird dynamic.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure it is. But, you know, at Wednesday's practice, when Jeremy was kind of in full control of the practice, I was kind of observing how the players were being receptive to Jeremy. And they were all eyes and ears. And I think you have to be early on, especially when you have a new coach, no matter the age. You know, Patrick Kane was saying when he's up there on the drawing board, you're not thinking about his age. You're just thinking about what he's saying and what he's preaching and how you're going to adapt to his system. And I think he's so mature where everyone around the locker room just says he's a very bright hockey mind and he's a good communicator. So I think that's the most important thing. And if you can win over the veterans, like Patrick Kane played his 28 minutes the other night. That's how you win over your veterans and you put those trusts in those players. And I think that once the veterans do completely buy in, it's going to trickle down up and down the roster.
Okay. So here's my question about the Blackhawks overall, Charlie. Do they have enough talent to be competitive this year? And what I mean by competitive is not just making the playoffs, but scaring people. And do they need to address the issue of when Corey Crawford's not in net, they don't win?
Yeah, right now it's hard to say this is a playoff roster, especially with what's going on in the Central Division. Like, you're going to need to – like, you can't go on a three-game losing streak here or whatever. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this roster responds when they're maybe fully healthy, when they have one of their top prospects like Dylan Sakura come up here, when Connor Murphy gets healthy and he's back into the fold, when Gustav Forsling gets healthy and he's back on the blue line. Like, how is this all going to look when they're all playing together? And then maybe Stan Bowman can say, okay, this is what we have. This is what we need at the trade deadline. Maybe they go out and get a top nine forward, or maybe they go out and try to get a top four defenseman that also fits in the long-term plan. But it's hard to look at the roster right now and say, okay, you know, this is, maybe the coaching change was the problem. Like, they still need it. The roster construction is still not where it needs to be. That Jeremy needs help eventually. If playoffs are the goal, then you're certainly going to have to add some pieces to this puzzle. But as it stands right now, I don't think it is a playoff team because they're so dependent on Corey Crawford.
I don't disagree with that. And I think, though, if you get the players that you're talking about, those are going to require trades of veterans. And I think when you bring up the coach from Rockford, the assumption is you're going to bring up kids and prospects. Those two thoughts aren't necessarily compatible, and I think that's going to be where the conflict arises for this Hawks season. It's going to make it kind of an uneven year.
Right, and the Blackhawks have kind of taken these last 2 years to refill that pipeline. So if you make any trade, you're going to have to dip into the Rockford pool, and you're going to have to trade part ways with maybe a player that you weren't. You know, like, if you want to make a trade, like, the Blackhawks aren't going to go out and get a rental forward for this season. They're going to go out and get someone that makes sense for now and the future. So in that sense, like, they're not going to go out and give up draft picks and first rounders like they have in the past just to kind of go all in on this season. And that's where it's going to get tricky because you know, the Blackhawks say that it's a remodeling period and they want to compete this year, but at the same time, they don't want to sacrifice the long term for it. So it's a little bit of a dicey situation.
I would imagine that you are getting more feedback from Blackhawks faithful than we are. What has been the feedback throughout this week? How have Blackhawks fans felt about the goings on at 1901?
It's still a little fresh, the Joel Quenneville news. And yesterday it was a little bit awkward feeling in the United Center because, you know, it obviously wasn't received well among the fan base. But I also think there is some excitement for Jeremy. It's just too early right now because the wound is so fresh. And I think at some point, once all that awkwardness goes away, Chicago fans will get to see what the Blackhawks can accomplish under Jeremy Colliton.
Good stuff, Charlie. Charlie Rolamiel, Otis from the NBC Sports Chicago covers the Blackhawks. Appreciate you getting up for us.
Thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.